I want to talk about something that feels both biological, physical, metaphysical, spiritual. And it's a kind of an odd subject, but one I've been gravitating toward. It's called, what happens? What do you do when life stops making sense? It's kind of something that can happen to people, particularly in old age. There's this idea of losing your mind. It can happen, I suppose, at any time. But then there's the reality of a spiritual, metaphysical process, meditative practice, where you don't lose your mind, you step away from it, or you let it go, or you don't let it be the constant defining mechanism that helps you navigate the world. That something else comes into play, which in a sense knows how to navigate, knows how to take the next step. It isn't necessarily mind-centric. It's not created by thought. It's something that has an intuitive knowing of how to proceed moment to moment, day to day, in your life, even when your normal mind, your tutored mind, if you will, is no longer functioning for you in the way that it has in the past. Each of us has learned about life from a number of instructors, starting with our parents, our siblings, our relatives, school, experience in the world, others, our own mind conjuring elements and putting them together in order that we can function well in life. And we're all working at that, have been from day one. But the mind really is an assembly of instructions, learned behaviors that come as you start to participate in the world as you see it and know it. You begin by being rather wide-eyed, kind of. You look at the world, and in the beginning, it makes no sense. It's pretty amazing and wondrous, and you have all sorts of reactions to it. One of them is awe, profound curiosity, fear, annoyance, excitement. All of these things are starting to be generated in your material form, and you start to weave together this person that you are now unbelievably attached to. And this person is full of information that you have fed it that helps to guide it through the process, sometimes effectively, sometimes not. Some people have a better mind, a more cognitive capacity to witness all of this and make sense of it. Other people stumble around through their daily journey and have very little guidance and a lot of emotionality in their lives and a lot of people who don't know what to tell them. So we all become very, very complex and very different entities. There are certain what we call universals, and the universals are things that we witness, things like day and night, happy, sad, good and evil, these constants that are there enough that we kind of all share them. And so when I think of something that's good, I have my own perception of what that is. And each of you does too. Something that makes you happy, it can be a million different stimuli that make you this or that. And we weave all those into the personality we become. And the biggest problem really is how much belief we put into it. This is real because I experience it through my mind. My mind is creating on a daily basis the reality of your existence. Daily basis may be even too big a statement, maybe moment to moment to moment. It is creating this, and it's filtering it into the system that you have manifested for yourself in order to function in this space we call life that has such unbelievable dynamism in it. And we each think in our own limited way that we know what it is. We know predictability. Probably we'll go to bed and we'll wake up in the morning. The sun will probably rise because it has every other day. There will be food on the table because we have provided for that. And there is a kind of certainty. But at the core of all of this, obviously, is what many teachers refer to as mystery. Some of us have religious teaching that takes care of that. It says, well, here's what it's all about. There's God, God created the word spoke, and it became the world, and we are here, and we're in a place of manifestation from a God form, and that God form is giving us life, and it's going to judge our lives, and we're going to go to heaven, or we're going to go to hell, or we're going to go into a Buddhistic state of surrender and deeper understanding where we don't have to have a belief system. We can just know and feel and experience. There are so many variables, but every one of them ultimately is processed by this. So what happens when this stops putting it together, where you stop making sense of the world? If you're on a quote unquote spiritual journey, you're kind of assisting that process. You're sort of helping the world fall away. You're helping yourself see through fewer lenses more clearly what is going on. But what happens when you go deeper and deeper into that clarity is that less and less comes into focus. The things you have accepted or believed to be real and true are no longer anything but lessons you've been taught by experience, by life, by your family, by your relatives, your friends, and your teachers. But there comes a moment where you go, really? Really? This is it? And you start to feel it's just a belief system. You believe this. You believe it because you've been told, and because out of experience, you've woven it together into the truth. As far as I can tell, forgive me if this is projecting more, sense into a world of no sense. But as far as I can tell, the journey we're on spiritually, if you will, internally, is the letting go, the surrender, the asking to be free of all construct, if you will, and to discover what's still there. And at some point, that's very challenging because you start to find certain things that people told you, your teachers, Rudy, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, whatever, have told you these certain things that you have laid as foundational truths. This is really how it is. This is really, that's what it is. The mystery kind of allows itself to refine itself into some higher teaching. And when that starts to go away, there is a kind of beginning, if you will, of a journey into an unnameable truth, an unknowable truth, a place of no sense at all, nonsense, but not nonsense in the sense of it being foolish. It's just not comprehensible. It's simply not understandable at all. And I can only tell you what's going on for me, which is why I'm talking about all this, is I'm witnessing, and it could be, and I've said this to you before, it could be dementia and Alzheimer's, but from a spiritual perspective, if that's what it is, it's very, very profound. And in some ways, we'll call it liberating, but it's liberating, may not be liberating the way you want it to be. You may want liberation that frees you to a certain kind of I get it. It's just as simple. It's joyful. I understand. Any of those concepts are suddenly not available, and you don't get it. You truly don't get it. And what happens when you don't get it, I can only best describe as being 4 days old or 3 days old and going like that. Yes, stuff will filter in, old patterns, old ideas, old thoughts, and you will look at them and you will be comforted by them and you'll recognize them for what they are. Oh, I can hold on to that for a minute and feel warm and good. I can feel like, oh, that's the truth, or that's really how it works, or whatever you want to feel. But when the world starts to not support old thought patterns, old beliefs, old ideas of how it comes together, you're left with something approaching indescribable truth. And I don't know what more to say about it, other than it is like, oh, everything around you is in it. Everyone around you is in it. Everything you've learned is in it, but it is not it. It does not lock it into place. It does not define it. It's just part of it. And every truth that you think about, every scientific principle that you have in mind about how it plays out and how it comes together, suddenly is not really there. It simply is. And as a teacher person, trying to help you through this or tell you where it leads, I am kind of helpless, because I am on this journey, which I think I set out on quite a long time ago. And this was probably its goal. I didn't know that, but I thought I would know. I would have knowledge. I would have the wisdom of the whole picture. And what's happening for me is there is no big whole picture. I mean, there is something. Clearly, there's something. But it is not in any way definable or graspable. So I have to live in the presence of the unknowable reality, whatever that may be. And it is, I was going to try to give definition to it, but that's a mistake. It just is. It absolutely is. There's no question about the isness of it, because here we are in the isness of life. And that isness is really amazing. I mean, beyond amazing. I mean, I look out the windows, you know, and I look at the sunlight, and I look at you, and I look at the world that surrounds me, and I go, I mean, I like a little kid. It's like, oh my God. And then I see it with other kinds of sort of filters and things, like the wisdom of having been around the block a lot of different times, and it's still completely amazing and terrifying and beautiful and ugly and all that stuff. And I'm watching it starting to decompose. You know, we're watching, all of us are watching the world in a traumatic state. I mean, maybe it's always been traumatic, but we're seeing that. And I had my grandchildren sleep over last night, and so I have the visual impact of the newness of seeing the world through those eyes, and the beauty and the hope and the possibility of the unknowable is so remarkable. And so all I can tell you is, losing your mind is not the same as letting go of your mind. So you don't want to lose it and struggle. You want to let it go. And have the world not make sense is not a bad thing. It's simply, oh, huh, a lot of that, oh, huh. I think sense will come back into the picture at times. It will break apart again. The rules that you've known your whole life will be maybe solid, maybe not. I can tell there are certain directives I have in life that I'm following. You know, Rudy's line, if it's in front of you, it's yours, is like really powerful. I don't look away. If there's somebody with their hand out, I put something in their hand. If there's a plate that needs to be put in the sink, I put the plate in the sink. I'm living that kind of life. It's like, wow. Wow. Okay. It's very simple. You know, I water the plants, I feed the fish, I go shopping with Blanche, you know, it's very predictable. I don't have a big need to bring more into the picture because it's flooded with being. It's just flooded. I have relatives now who are traveling and, you know, going off to Europe and doing all these things. And we were invited, Blanche and I, to go. Nothing in me felt that would be an addition at all. It doesn't add to the equation. It's so simple. The equation is always complicating itself, dividing and multiplying and doing all these extraordinary things, but it's always around you. It's always there until it's not. And there will be a period or a time where it's not. But the being that is reacting to all of this no sense is the last, well, I'm saying this like I know, but it's the last thing that has to be surrendered. The thing that reacts to nothing, that reacts to everything, that reacts to not getting it. The thing that goes, but, that starts to break apart, fall away, and then there's, I don't even know how to describe it, but there's only the wordless this. And, you know, there's no protection from this. There, you have a body. God knows what that means or why or how. It's an incredible thing. You know, I keep wondering, how did we ever get them? How did they ever come into being? Bodies. You know, who, we have scientific thought and idea that most of us kind of sign off on. But even in the New York Times yesterday, there was an article about the Webb telescope starting to see things that are so incomprehensible that they cannot begin to fully embrace the idea of the Big Bang, of the story of the universe, you know, the scientific story of the universe. They're seeing planetary forms or galactic forms that are ancient, being younger than the thing that gave birth to them. How does that happen? And I don't want to get too scientific here, but I just find it really interesting that scientists are going, you know, maybe all the answers are not the answers. And in a way, that for me is a relief, because the mystery at the core of all of this has no sense to it. It makes no sense, but it doesn't diminish it at all. It's just, we have to relate to it or find it differently, which includes seeing it through the eyes of an infant. But let me also say, in no way does it dismiss the fact that you were born, have a body, went to school, had a life, got married or didn't get married and have children or don't have children. None of that is discarded in this. None of it. It's all part of the entirety of what's happening, but don't let it make sense, because it's just this. It's just this. So if I've confused you, that's fine, because there's no making sense of what I'm saying. But maybe something is getting communicated that is a little bit not of the mind, not of the cognitive sense, but just something that goes, that's enough. And the big is kind of beyond. It's just beyond. And so here we are, all of us on this kind of journey together, this spiritual journey to whatever it is you think you were heading toward. I can only tell you the thing it's taking me to, which I think I was prepared for in a way, is the taking away of all graspable truth and experiencing truth that cannot be grasped. And it's worth it, or so it appears. There's no ending for this talk. I don't know where to take it at all. All I can say is the journey of the talk is the exposure to what it's like to try to grasp something that cannot be grasped. Just let it go. Just get up in the morning and see where it takes you. That's all I can tell you. It's pretty amazing. It really is amazing. And the less you know, and the less you put it into a pocket of some kind, the more you just let it be, the more you just expose yourself, the more you just walk around in a state of not knowing and awe, possibly the more remarkable it will be. Okay, the end. Questions? Any questions? It seems like a very abstract talk, but it's not. Trust me, it's not abstract. It's maybe more real than anything I've ever said.
Bruce?
Yes.
Gail?
Hi, Gail. Go for it.
Well, I'm not sure I have the words to go for it, but I'm finding that my inner judge of, you know, this is right, this is wrong, is going. And it makes it very confusing.
To the mind.
Yeah, to the mind. And I'm at a point now where I wish my mind would just shut up.
At some point it will.
I guess. But I wish it would do it before that time.
Well, again.
So it disrupts my peace. And at this age, at this stage in my life, it shouldn't be doing that. You know,
I would say get rid of should and shouldn't, but I will tell you that the idea of a meditative practice is to have some respite from the mind. You may not shut it off and it may not go away, but you should be able to find, there are places inside you, and I've been in those places inside. I know your heart. There are places you can go that are quiet and embracing and loving and comforting. And you just have to go, okay, I remember, go there. Just go there. Just sit there. The mind does not have to run the show. I know it's we're programmed for it to do that. And the first thing to do is forgive yourself if it does do that, because that's kind of where you are. That's what's going on. The mind is having a big dance, a song and dance night, you know, and you just have to go do the dance and enjoy the music. And even if it's you know, awkward and strange, just go for it. But the ultimate is not to be reactive to it and wish it were this or wish it were that. Just settle in and go, okay, and watch it without being, because what supports the mind and all of that is our interaction with it. So if we get riled by it and we get angry and we get disturbed, it kind of loves that. It reinforces that in its own journey. So it is the quietude that suddenly comes into play that doesn't interact with that. The reactor, the person who's reacting, starts to diminish as you let go of you. And then the mind stuff comes in and you don't have to embrace it. Now, look, we all do. I do. I mean, I still get caught by it. But then I get the revelation of, look who's being caught. Look who's still there. Look who's interacting with and responding to this stuff. And then I try as best I can to let that go. Some days more effectively than others. I'm not walking around here claiming to have perfection at all. It's just a journey. But they have taken things away enough, even when they bring it back again, they take it away enough for me to give the talk I gave today, which is stop conceptualizing and start to just be the world itself. Just be it. Not even a witness to it. Just be it. And that includes the totality of mind and noise and fear and joy and all the other stuff. We just are this unbelievable, unknowable thing. And it's like, wow, wow. And even the stuff that's like anxious and fearful and all the other things that come up in the mind or judgmental or whatever else, it's part of this remarkable configuration. But don't give it credence. Just look at it and go, It doesn't have to be built into something more, because then that just magnifies the whole thing. And what you're trying to do is just be with it. Just be with it. Don't turn it into a good or a bad or a yes or a no. Just be with it and watch what happens. You have a great capacity for that, and mostly in your heart. And your heart is an absolute slayer of the dark forces that arise into your mind. You can just go into your heart and go, nope. You really can. You have a great capacity for that. Okay.
Thank you.
Todd.
Yeah, Bruce, I think it's more of an observation to the sort of parallel that you were talking about. And it's traditionally Burning Man, you know, weekend, the second weekend of Burning Man, where traditionally a effigy or a being, a man, a woman is built, and then also a temple, and then it's burnt down. So it's created, then destroyed. But the observer who created it doesn't die when it's destroyed. And it kind of paralleled the meditation where there's this understanding that beyond the minutiae of the mind is still this observer that was here perhaps before your bodily birth and will probably continue beyond. And yeah, the meditation just really had me had that realization, I suppose, or that experience.
That's a great observation, and it's very well put. I just know that reaching for that certainty that there will be something thereafter that was there before is also part of the mind drama that it creates to give us some comfort and assurance. I'm finding even that has to be, for me, surrendered. I don't know. I think it is true. That's my guess, that this core reality is too amazing. And we're certainly in it and of it and connected to it and part of it in some massive way. I suspect we were before and will be after. That makes sense in a way. But as I let go of sense, then even letting that go is kind of fascinating, you know, because it just means, it just brings you much more into the this, which we are always somehow a little bit stepping aside from. You know, we're a little bit separate from the this by cognating it. So I'm not trying to sell a bill of goods here, because I may be full of shit, you know, and who knows where all this really goes. But I will tell you, the emptying out of self and of sense and of separateness and of all this stuff is a very, very interesting journey. And I do think there is some kind of knowing, what maybe wisdom, that comes from doing that, that may in the end know exactly what you just said, that there may be a survivor of all of this, or a thing that we are the very thing itself, the creation itself, which I think probably is true. It feels that way. But I don't want it to be put in my mind like I get it, because that limits it. It's not gettable or limited in that way. It is too massive. And if you can walk around in the awe of that, I think you will be an emanation of something that the world needs. I have story value, but that's what I feel. And I see it in all of you. I see all of you becoming more and more and more of that. You will just walk into the world and you will be needed by the world because of the evolving wisdom, simplicity, not holding on to judgment, not holding on to this is how it is, but freedom to be, that may be liberating for others around you. And that could be beautiful. You know, again, this is all story stuff right now, but it does seem to me that there is value to the letting go of all knowing and just be. That's all I can say. You know, tiresome, but really amazing experience. So, anybody else? Wendy?
Bruce, back to what you were saying before, where you said, you know, just don't give it credence. You know, let's say the mental chatter, or that, I'm assuming you're talking about like kind of maybe that more aggressive inner, warring within oneself. But if you could speak a little more to, so what the discernment between what we're giving credence to, what we're not giving credence to inwardly, if that makes sense.
No, didn't make sense. I'm not sure how to answer that. Can you rephrase it, or should I?
Yeah, sure. So like what the sense I got was, you were saying, you know, if the mind starts going and seems to like take over or be very loud. Like, don't give it credence. There's a lot happening inside, like just so much at every second, inner and outer. So I was just wanting to hear, or maybe even just get a transmission on a deeper level of what not to give credence to, like what are the markers of what not to get and what to give credence to. That's just a question.
Just breaking it down like that creates the problem, because there's you trying to create structure around non-structure. You know, what do I hold on to? What do I let go of? What do I do? Who's the I that is trying to do that? And why is it trying to do that? And what is it getting out of that? And the answer really is you're getting a more of an identification of a form and a being that makes you comfortable, that makes you feel you have answers, that makes you know who you are. And that's fine. It's what everybody does. It's the entire human journey is that. But if you're on a spiritual track to deep surrender to a kind of Buddhistic, whatever, awakening, let's say, that stuff's not going to do it. It's not going to be holdable, understandable, comprehensible, or functioning on any level. It will just be this. And then, you know, in the way I've been talking for the last year, maybe, this idea of as close as one comes to a teaching, the Buddhistic teaching is be a good person. Be kind. That really does. If I'm going to have to boil this down into anything, that would be the directive that I would give and make that the constant directive. Be available and kind. Don't create tension. Don't create drama. Don't create, you know, hostility. Don't create all the things that make life so burdensome. Get rid of the burden. Get enlightened. You know, and that's the way. That's the path we're all on if you want to be on it. Some people, you can look around, you know, when you walk around the street or go outside, you can see a lot of people are not on that journey. You know, they're not looking for enlightenment. They're not looking for a way to free themselves of all of this stuff. If anything, they're building it into bigger and bigger structures. And those structures are all going to crumble. And as they crumble, they're not going to be crumbling with a lot of singing and dancing. Enjoy that the crumbling for most people is pretty catastrophic. You want to try for yourself to see catastrophic life because it's there for a lot of people, and you don't want to be judgmental about it. It's a road where there's a path where each of us are on such different trajectories. It's amazing. But the goal in the end is now you can also reach out if people like that are coming to you, people whose lives are catastrophic. And you do know some of those people. You can be the source of something that can calm and help them through that. And that's a nice thing to do, but you can't do it if you're in a catastrophe of your own. Then it's really hard. Or maybe you can. Maybe you need the catastrophe to be empathetic with other people's catastrophe. But life is a it's a massive journey for everybody. And the most we can do is, you know, figure it out without knowing at all, because you can't. I'm figuring out is letting go of figuring it out and just show up for everybody else who's still trying to figure it out. And just, I don't know, whatever you can do, hug, love, give, serve, figure it out.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, my love to you all. Thank you. It's funny because I hope this didn't feel too cerebral, because I'm trying to move past that. But it really, we're all, if you want to be liberated and you want to lighten up or find enlightenment or wake up to the non-comprehensible nature of our existence, to face the mystery itself, to face not knowing with an incredible sense of security or awareness. It's an amazing trip. And I think we're all trying to do that. We may all find different corners of that waking up in us, and we may all end up in a different sensibility. But in the end, I think we're all heading in the right direction, and keep on walking.
I have a question.
Okay.
It's not even a question. Well, it is kind of a question. Okay, so I feel like I totally get what you're saying. And every week it's very uncomfortable to not know something, but that's all there is, really, is not knowing. And every week you say, do you have any questions? And I'm sitting there going, well, if I had a question, doesn't that mean that I'm trying to know something?
We're all on a path. We're all on a path to not knowing, and it all needs help. And people like Rudy, you know, were able to help us move in that direction. People like Buddha, Jesus, you know, they're all people helping us find a directionality that leads to what I think I'm talking about, which is staring the unknowable in the face. Yeah, you can have questions about it, but you can also ask them, not me or Rudy, but just ask. I mean, there is a separate you until there isn't, you know, and that may be really tested by the finality of your life and the pain of the departure. So everybody's going to deal with this in some unbelievably concrete way, you know, but all I can say is, you know, babies come into this world crying and then they go, wow. So I don't know. I can't tell you the story value of it anymore. I can just tell you that having questions is not the wrong thing. Finding answers, that if you can find an answer that doesn't lock in and register as the answer, but just floods you with light, if you will, floods you with a kind of incomprehensible awe, that may be fine. You know, I'm not promising it, but I just can tell you, the journey I am on, the questions now are evaporating because I don't see that the answer is containable. The answer is the fact of being, just the being, and whatever that is or means. How does one keep teaching this? I don't really know, but I'm just saying it's a wow. There's a wow factor to this, and we're all hopefully heading toward them. Enough. Love you all. Until next time, be well. And thank you for showing up today, especially because I forgot to tell you there was a class today.